T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
105.5 Triple M, it's Jonathan and Kitty. And Kitty, once again, they left the side door open.
Yep.
And look who wandered in. A couple guys from the show at Overture Hall, A Bronx Tale. We have Joe Barbara and Joey Barrero here.
We just stopped and we heard, I was looking for a sandwich. I didn't realize it was a radio station.
Yeah, it's pretty nice here. We've got a few things in the back.
We
just
have
for
some
you.
Expired stuff in the vending machine.
Yes.
That's really.
That's just expired is my specialty.
So let's start off with the show itself. This was first a one-man show. Then it became a movie. Now it's a musical. Joe, you did it on Broadway, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so then how did you get the short stick? What the hell are you doing traveling to Madison,
Wisconsin? No, I heard they had great cheese, so here we are. I heard they had a great radio show called Jonathan and Kitty.
There it is. Okay,
on Triple M, and I said, I got to do this gig. Yeah. No, it's been a great great experience. I love the show. I mean, truly, I love the story. I love the music. And you're working with Chaz Palminteri and Robert De Niro and Alan Menken, who's got 8 Academy Awards. I mean, really, who would not want to do this
gig? Let's break into a little Shop of Horrors, right?
I'll break into it now. He's actually very very good with the girls on the stoop. I don't know what that means.
That didn't come out right. But, so when you auditioned for this, was De Niro, like, was he there, like, hanging out, staring at you, or how did that go?
Great question. So I was in Las Vegas doing Jersey Boys when this was auditioning. So they called me and said, would you fly to New York and do this? And long story short, I did. But then they had already given the role of Sonny to somebody else. So before I even made the flight. So long story short, they asked me to audition again in Las Vegas. And I put myself on tape. I taught TV and film production at a high school. And I put myself on tape. I had my 3-year-old son at the time pressing the button to play the accompaniment so I could sing along with the tape.
Yeah. I mean,
no, it was lit really well, believe me. Uh-huh. And the scariest part of the entire experience is when I attached it to an email and I hit send, and I knew that De Niro was going to be looking at that footage.
Right.
And once I hit send and it was out of my hands, that's when I got nervous. But then I heard good things. I heard when he saw it. I'm not going to say what I heard, but I heard he said something, you know, that was very positive, like the minute he saw it. And I felt, and from that moment on, every time Bob has been in the room, I've never been nervous. Even when he comes to the show and I'm doing the show and he's in the audience, I'm not nervous. Because from that one moment when I heard that good reaction to the audition.
You're in.
Yeah, I felt confident with him. I felt close with him. I felt like we were on the same page.
He doesn't say the same thing about you now.
No, I'm sure. You know why? Because he doesn't say anything about me.
Did you ever do Are You Talking to Me? Did you do that? You didn't do that.
You do not do that. Okay, that's the no-no. You get that from the people closest to him. Don't do that. I've asked him about other things. I asked him about Mean Streets, and he was great
about that.
But don't say that.
But you can call him Bob, not Robert.
No, it's Bob.
Okay.
It's Bob.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. All right, so now let's move over. Joey, so you, first of all, you went to U of M, right? University of Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let you know, the Badgers, we spank you on a regular basis when it comes to football.
Well, I'm a basketball fan, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Did you go to school for acting then, or were you really going to be something else?
I wanted to be a composer, a film composer. And
probably should have stuck with that.
Okay. Let me put this so you can always have it. You can jump in whenever you want. I wanted to be a film composer, and then I was always singing. I was a musician. And then my senior year of high school, I watched a bunch of Daniel Day-Lewis movies, and I was hooked into the acting thing. And so I just, on a whim, auditioned for acting programs and got in at Miami, and it was...
And if that doesn't work, you could become a woodworker. Isn't that
exactly
what he does now?
Exactly.
He makes furniture.
And I actually do want to become a woodworker one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what kind of classical, were you a pianist or what did you play?
I played piano.
I'm sorry, could you ask that question one more time?
You like that, don't you? You like that. I knew you're the most mature one is in the room.
I play piano and guitar, and I was a singer. My sister was an opera singer before me, and music has been a part of my life since very early age.
So now this is working. Do you still want to write stuff? Or
Yeah, this is just my side job.
This is just how I
can pay the bills until I become who I want to be, actually.
And it's not hanging out with this other guy.
It's definitely not hanging out with Joe Barber.
Come on.
Bronx, this kid loves me. Don't kid yourself.
Bronxdale is here at Overture Hall. Joe, your resume's impressive, but I mean.
The parts that are real.
Okay, well, so were you on the Cosby Mysteries?
I was on the Cosby Mysteries.
It does say that in Wikipedia.
I don't even know what that is.
It was on for one season.
It was about a season, maybe two. Could it have been two? I don't know.
One season.
Was it one season? Wow. Yeah, I worked with they called him Mr. C.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, Howard from Happy Days. We're talking about, Bill Cosby.
All right, so do we want to go down that rabbit hole at all?
Or? You know what? I had a great experience with him. He was an odd person to get to know. Not that I knew him, but I mean, knew him in that day for the scene we did together. He we got along well. He wanted to improv the scene. He took the script and completely threw it out.
All right, wait, let me just back up for people. So I looked up because I didn't remember Cosby Mysteries. It was like he was a cop. He won a lot of money. He wasn't a cop anymore, but they would still have him come solve mysteries.
It was Quincy.
Yeah.
It was Bill Cosby playing Quincy. He was a medical examiner.
Okay.
Right.
And so it says your role was jackhammer.
That's one word, because that was my occupation.
Oh.
Technically, it was jackhammerer.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Right?
Oh,
okay. By the way, thank you for that.
Sure. No problem.
Means a lot.
So, yeah. So what did you do in the – what happened? Do you remember what it was?
I remember very well. It was the beginning of the show, and he was walking by this construction site, and he looked at it kind of inquisitively and walks in, and I'm sitting there with a jackhammer, jacking up the inside of the building, and he comes up and asks me a question about, what's been here, what's this pole doing here, there was a support beam, and I go into this whole thing, and I was sort of like this tough New York guy, that was a jackhammer, but apparently was very into architecture, and I would have this, big, not talking about Emery Roth and different architectural styles, and that was what the scene was.
Why did it only last one season?
I don't know. Ultimately, at the end of the scene, he asks me to take this post down, and I do it with the hammer, and we knock away all the cement, and there's a body inside.
Oh.
We'll have to look back and see if we could find it. A Bronx Tale's running through Sunday at Overture Hall. You were a production person for Entertainment Tonight, too. Is that true
on
Wikipedia?
Job, that is very true. That was my first job out of college. I studied TV and film production. I didn't study musical theater in college. Back then, studying musical theater wasn't a prerequisite like it really is today. Mm-hmm. But, TV and film production, I studied. I worked in Entertainment Tonight, driving the van.
So who was there? Lisa Gibbons? Or who
Lisa was there. Mary Hart was there. John Tesh was there. But they were mostly in L.A. I worked in the New York Bureau, so Lisa and Mary Hart and John Tesh would come in once in a while, but we didn't work with them on a daily basis. But we met everybody. I was driving the van. I was, parking the van six blocks away, and then in the middle of the summer, and, we'd go to this big black tie affair, and I'm the guy coming in sweating in a T-shirt ripped, and you're just dirty and sweaty from carrying, 50 pounds of lights and batteries and cables up, 6th Avenue. To go to this, beautiful affair, and I'm walking in, dragging with all
that's
the
when you went
equipment.
By the name Jack Hammer.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right. We really should be talking more about the musical, but I do want to ask just one more thing. You've been on soap operas, too. Sorry, Joey. I know I'm doing more with him.
No, he's old. It's okay.
Yeah, he's old. Exactly. The soap operas, you guys crank those out. That's a day-to-day, 9-to-5 job.
When
service,
I did it was tough. What they do now, I think, is even tougher. But yeah, at the time we shot an episode a day.
Right.
So if you think about a feature film, and they may, how long, 2 hours long, and they may take how many months to shoot it.
Sure.
We shot, 45 minutes worth of material, an hour's worth of programming in one day. So the quality of soaps, I believe, soaps get a bad rap. You know what I'm saying? They people assume that, it's cheesy. And if you had to work under those conditions with no rehearsal, and the writers don't have a lot of time to write things, they have to write it in such a way that you recap what happened for the past 6 months because people don't tune in every day. It's really tough to have the quality programming that people expect in movies. So the work that they do is really impressive. It's tough.
How do they do it now, though?
Now they just shoot. I think they shoot even more because they try to save money. So they shoot, like, instead of an episode a day, they shoot an episode and a half or two episodes in a day. And then they take more time off. They give even less rehearsal. We had, like, two rehearsals maybe before we shot most of the time. Now they have, like, zero.
So do you guys rehearse for this anymore? Or now it's just, like, you don't really
Some
have
of
to.
Us need to.
They're both Present looking at each other right now, which is interesting. Do you have to really anymore?
No, not really. I mean, we have when our directors come in and they watch the show, they just see that Joe and I are doing a good job, hopefully. And if we aren't, then we'll get some notes, but that's it.
Yeah. So what do you do during the day? Do you, like, wander around? Like, when you come to different cities, do you guys wander around? Or
We go on these radio programs often and, you know, get razzed by the local talent.
Yeah. All right.
I just play music. I play music and I go see the cities and I plan other bigger vacations.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
Plans vacation.
Yeah. So one of the characters in the play is the young, how do you say your character?
Calogero.
Yeah. He's supposed to be 9 years old, you know, the young character. Like, what's it like to work with a kid that young? And he's obviously very talented.
It's very easy because all the boys who have played the part, right, we have two boys who are playing the part currently. And they're both really talented, really smart kids, very funny, and their parents are there, so I don't really have to deal with them.
The parents say, asked and answered. That's,
all right.
That's perfect, but you still have to deal with Joe over here.
He's the biggest child of the show.
All right, A Bronx Tale, go catch it. It's at Overture Hall until Sunday. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks, ma'am.
Now get the hell out of here. Beautiful.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.